If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 33. And if somebody would be so kind to stick my PowerPoint up on the screen, we're going to talk about the presence of God in the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we'll begin with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. And we'll stop there, but keep your Bibles open this morning. Father, we pray for an encounter with you and an encounter with your presence today, that, Lord, when we leave here today, we would settle for nothing less than you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The presence of God was so strong in the life of Moses. He had an encounter with God that when he left that encounter, his face shone. In fact, his face shone so brightly that he had to wear a veil. The people were afraid to look at the face of Moses. Whenever Moses went into the presence of God, he would remove the veil. But then when he got into the presence of the people, he would cover his face again. Now, I don't know if it was eventually or if it happened all of a sudden, but the glow on Moses' face had left him. But Moses continued to wear the veil. See, he didn't want people to know that the glory was gone. He didn't want people to know that his face no longer shone. And I wonder today if any of us have lost the glow, the conscious presence of the Lord in our countenance, or maybe even in our spirits. And I want to talk to you today about how to get the glow back, or I think if you never really had it, these same principles could apply on how you can get the glow in your life. Let me give you some steps to make. Number one, there must be a determination. There must be a determination. This determination is that you will have God in your life. We read about it there in Exodus chapter 33, those first four verses. But notice verse 2 where God says to Moses, I will send an angel before thee. This angel will drive out the giants in the land, and you will have this land flowing with milk and honey. But verse 3, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God is saying, now Moses, I've promised you this land. I'm giving you the promised land. You're going to get it. And I'm going to send an angel ahead of you to drive out the Canaanites and the giants, the enemies. But Moses, I'm not going to go with you. I'll give you victory. I'll give you success. I'll give you the land, but you won't have my presence. Now, when Moses came and he said that to the people had enough sense to realize, what good is it if we don't have the Lord? What good is the victory without the victor? What good is the land without the Lord? What good are the blessings without the blesser? What good are the gifts without the giver? What good is the success without the Savior? We're not going to settle for an angel. And then look at verse 14. Moses said, Oh, our God said rather, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. What is Moses saying? Moses is saying, Lord, I'm not going to go without you. I am not going to go without you, Lord. If you're not going, I'm not going. I wonder how many of us would have settled for what God said to Moses. You know, you're going to have success in life. You're going to have victory in life. I'm going to get you to the promised land. I'm going to get you to heaven. But you're not going to be aware of my conscious presence. You know what? I'll send you an angel before you. I wonder if we would be willing to say, yeah, that sounds good, Lord. I'm satisfied with that. I'll settle for that. Can I tell you, don't ever settle for that. Don't ever settle for going through life without the conscious presence of God, without your knowledge that God is with you, without a sense and a feeling of his presence. I beg you not to do it. You know, it's kind of like the husband and wife who remain married but separate. The husband says, I'll pay the rent or make the house payment. I'll buy the groceries. I'll cut the grass. But we won't live together. You want that kind of relationship with God? Do you want to have God's blessings in life without God himself? Or would you be willing to say, God, I'm not going to settle for separate maintenance. Lord, I want to know you intimately. And Lord, I don't want to go through life without you. And so first of all, there has to be this determination. And I pray that that will be true in all of our lives, that we want to be growing Christians, and we don't ever want to think that we've gotten to the place where we've attained, but we determine, God, I'm going to live life, but I'm going to live life by taking your presence with me. We want the conscious presence of God in our lives and in our church. And so there has to be this determination. And I think God will many times test us and say, you can have this, but you won't have my presence. I'm not going with. And we need to say, God, I don't care if I have the blessing. I don't care if I have the gifts, because they're nothing without you. I want you. Are we determined? Secondly, there must be preparation. Go to the next chapter in Exodus 34. And God says, Moses says, God, listen, we're not going to take second best. We don't want an angel. We want you. And so now the Lord is ready to give them what they want. So in chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Now God had already given the Ten Commandments one time. You remember the story. Moses came down from the mountain. He saw the people dancing around this golden calf. And in anger, Moses smashed the tablets of stone. And God was ready to say to the people, my presence is not going to go with you. And Moses said, oh Lord, I've got to have your presence. And so God says, all right, Moses, get me two more tables and come up on the mountain and be ready tomorrow morning. And I'm going to deal with you one more time. Now, if you expect the presence of God, you need to do what Moses did and what God told Moses to do. Look at verse 2. Be ready in the morning. Be ready in the morning. Don't carelessly, casually, haphazardly seek the presence of God. God does business with those who mean business. You know, the Bible speaks of preparing your heart to seek the Lord. Let me give you two scriptures that you might want to write down. These are very meaningful to me. One of the scriptures deals with a man by the name of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam did not have the presence of God. Let me underscore that. Did not have the presence of God in his life. And here's what the Bible says about him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, and he did evil. Now why? Why did he do evil? Listen to it. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's an interesting verse. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's why he did evil. I want you to notice it doesn't even say that he didn't do evil because he didn't seek the Lord. That's not what it's saying. It's saying he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The issue is in the preparing of the heart. There must be preparation. You must be ready. Let me give you the converse of that now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 3, this speaks of a man named Jehoshaphat, a good guy. And in that verse, God says to Jehoshaphat, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, that is, the places of pagan worship, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." I want you to see the emphasis that God puts upon the preparation. We have to prepare ourselves to seek the Lord. One man did evil, not because he didn't seek the Lord, but because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. One man did good, not just because he sought the Lord, but because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. If we are going to get the glow back, if we are going to live in the presence of God, the conscious presence of God, we have to have a determination, first of all. God, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to settle for anything less than you. I'm not going to settle for anything less. I'm not going to settle for the things out of your hand. I'm only going to settle for your face, oh God. And then we need to come to the place where we prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. If you remember when we talked about the tabernacle, the first really half of the tabernacle was preparation to go into the presence of God, to go into the presence of the holy place. And then the most holy place. I wonder how often we just rush casually into the presence of God. But if we want to have the glow, and if we want the conscious presence of God, we have to prepare ourselves to meet him. Third thing is that there must be isolation. There must be determination. God, I will not take your blessings without you. I don't want an angel. I need you. Number two, preparation. Be ready in the morning. I pray you'll be ready in the morning. You'll be prepared. And here's the third thing. Verse 3 of chapter 34. "And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount." God says to Moses, if you really want to get the glow back, if you really want to be in my presence, then you're going to have to come alone. It's going to be me and you. Now, Moses was the pastor of 3 million people. That's a lot of people to pastor. And God says, Moses, I want you to leave those people and get alone with me. It's very important because we'll understand later on that Moses is going to go and intercede for those very same people that he was getting away from. Do you know that the best time that I spend for you is not when I'm with you, talking to you about God? The best thing I can do for you is when I go to God and talk to him about you. Today I'm talking to you about God, but there needs to be times when I talk to God about you. And those things are really more important than anything that I could say here this morning. Parents, of course you need to spend time with your children. But you need to spend time talking to God about your children. Sunday school teacher, you need to spend time talking to God about those students in your class. and whoever you have a responsibility for, and whoever God has brought into your life to minister to, not only do you need to spend time with them, you also need to spend time with God talking about them. It's one of the greatest things that you can do. And there are times when you need to be alone with God. Not just pastors, not just church leaders, not just Sunday school teachers, not just parents, but all of us need to be alone with God. Jesus taught us when you pray, what? Enter into your closet and pray. He didn't mean a closed closet. He meant a closed place, a place where you could go and shut the doors, open the window to heaven, and get alone with Him. And if you'll study the lives of people in the Bible that have been blessed and have been in the conscious presence of God, you will see that these were people who were in places of isolation. There's Abraham. He's alone with God when God gives him this great dream and says, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sand upon the seashore. There's Daniel. He's alone with God when God gives him visions and prophecies concerning the future. There's Paul. He just gets converted. He is alone with God in Arabia, probably 40 days and 40 nights before Paul does anything. He's alone with God. Later, he's alone with God as he writes the epistles, and he writes the great book of Romans. Peter, he's alone with God as he's on the rooftop of a house one day, and God says, I want you to take this gospel, and I want you to take the Holy Spirit to the house of one Cornelius. And the gospel is opened up to the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell on the house of Cornelius because Peter was alone with God. And then we come to John. He's alone on the Isle of Patmos. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he sees into the future this great thing that's going to take place, and he writes the book of Revelation. There's Moses. He's alone with God on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and God gives him the Ten Commandments. And then the greatest example of all is Jesus Christ. He's doing miracle after miracle, and yet he finds time that he gets alone with God. He would withdraw into the wilderness alone to pray. And I tell you, if you want to get the glow back in your life, if you want to experience the conscious presence of God, if you want to see the presence of God manifested in your life like never before, you're going to have to spend times alone with Him. You're going to have to find a place of prayer. There's going to be times when you set yourself in isolation and there's nobody that can reach you, and you spend that time just basking in the presence of God. There must be determination. There must be preparation. There must be isolation. And there must be expectation. All of these things need to be there. Notice, beginning in verse 4, and he, that it's Moses, hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. Why did he hew those two tables of stone? Very simple. This is really a simple message this morning. Because he expected the Lord to give him something, right? He expected God to replace those commandments. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children unto the third and fourth, to the fourth generation. Now, Moses went up there to find out something from God, and he got a revelation from God. And God said to Moses, now Moses, I'm going to give you something, but I want you to be prepared to take it down. Take with you two blank tablets. I wonder, when you get alone with God, maybe it's your quiet time, your devotional life, a prayer time, When you get alone with God, are you expecting God to tell you something? Are you expecting God to speak to you? Are you expecting to learn something from God? I mean, every time we open the Word, we should expect God to teach us something. We should be learning something about Him. We should be learning something in His Word. Now, Moses went up there to find out something from God, and he got a revelation. Can I tell you that the weakest ink is better than the strongest memory? I don't know if you are like me, but I am getting to the point where I'm very forgetful. And I think to myself, I will remember that. And I'll repeat it to myself so that I think I'll remember. I forget. And so I found that I have to write things down. And when you go into the presence of God, you need to be taking a notebook or an iPad or something. I take my iPad now. But I have something there so I can write down what God is saying to me, what God is speaking to me about. When you go into the presence of God, you need to expect God to say something to you, and you have some paper ready because you're exercising your faith. You're saying, God, I believe that you are going to speak to me, that we're going to have an encounter this morning or whenever it is you have your quiet time. You'll be surprised how things become more clear when you write it down. I'm going through the book of Hebrews right now. Wow, is Hebrews a tough book? And I have write things down, and as I write it down, it becomes more clear to me as I can clarify it through words. But when you come with paper and pen into the presence of God, you know what you're doing? You're exercising faith. You're saying, God, I believe that you are going to speak to me through your word this morning, that you're going to speak to my heart through prayer. It's kind of like what somebody said, when you go to a prayer meeting for rain, bring an umbrella. When you go into the presence of God, bring a notebook. Believe that God is going to expect God to speak to you. What do you do with a passage of Scripture to cause it to burst into flame in your hand? First of all, very simply, read it through. Just open a Bible and read it. Read it through. Read it carefully, though. Don't just skim over it. And if you've ever had this happen, where you begin to read and your mind begins to wander, and you've read a couple chapters and you have no idea what you just read, go back and read it again. Read it through. Secondly, think it out. Put your mind to work. Exercise your mind. Remember, Jesus said, you have to love God with all your mind. Sometimes we forget that part of it. We don't love God with all our heart. God says, love me with all your mind as well. Renew your mind day by day. Why would God want your mind renewed? Because he expects you to use it. So read it through. And then thirdly, pray it in. Talk to God about it. One of the finest ways to learn the Scripture is to pray the Scripture. When God tells you something in the Bible or shows you something in the Bible, talk to him about it. Tell him about it. Ask him about it. Thank him for it. Pray it in. Fourthly, write it down. And you'll be surprised how much God speaks to you about if you're keeping record of it, if you're journaling it. Number five, live it out. This is the way it really becomes real to you. When you find something in the Word of God, these promises, these truths, are not just to be museum pieces to hang on the wall. It's not so you can just fill up your notebook. It's not so you can just look back and say, oh, look at all these things God has talked to me about. No, God wants them a part of your life. He wants you to take it in, and he wants you to live it out. take these promises of God, stand upon them, take those precepts, take those warnings, put them into your life. Say, I will live by that precept. I'll live by that promise. I'll live by that warning today. And then number six, pass it on. Share it with others. You know, when we meet people day by day, we ought to have a little nugget of truth, a little nugget of wisdom that we got from the Lord that morning, and we need to share it with others. Share it with others. That's why I'm so blessed to be able to preach the word, because I have the great opportunity of sharing it with you. And when I preach things that are difficult, I always want you to know that if I'm pointing the finger at you, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. So I'm responsible to live this out as well. But that's how it becomes real to my heart. Those that teach Sunday school or do a Bible class or something, I think are really, really blessed as they begin to share the word, but they also becomes more real to them. So when you have your quiet time, hopefully tomorrow, or maybe even today, I don't know. But when you have a time when you can go into your closet, shut the door, open the window of heaven, and pray and seek God, just put these little things into practice. Take a passage of scripture, read it through, think it out, pray it in, write it down, live it out, and then find somebody you can tell what you learned or what God spoke to you about, and pass it on to them. And you'll find that the scripture will just burst a flame in your hand, and you'll be able to say that you were in the presence of God, and here's proof of being in God's presence. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? There's more to this message, but I think this is enough to get you started working this week on. This is essential. And I don't know, maybe you're here today and you think to yourself, well, I've really never had the glow. I've just never really felt the presence of God that strongly in my life. Or maybe you're here and you can look back at a time in your life and you're like Moses. You definitely had times in the presence of God. You just came from his presence glowing and you knew it and other people knew it. And you put on the veil. And today you're still wearing the veil, even though the glow is gone. You can get it back. It doesn't have to be gone forever. You can get it back. But in order for you to get it back, you have to be determined. If either one of those two scenarios fit you this morning, would you right now make up your mind? Say, God, the most important thing in my life is my relationship with you. The most important thing is your presence. And God, I don't want the land without you, Lord. I don't want success without the Savior. I don't want victories without the victor. Lord, I don't even want your gifts without the giver. Lord, I want you this morning. And I am determined. I've made up my mind. I will not go on in the Christian life until I hear your voice saying, my presence will go with you. Make that determination. And then prepare your heart when you come into his presence. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. It might require some effort on your part, but let me tell you, it's going to be worth it. And then are you willing to get alone, to isolate yourself, even from those that are closest to you, to isolate yourself from the world, where God, it's just going to be you and me. And then, Lord, I'm coming, but I'm coming expecting. I expect you're going to speak to me. I expect we're going to have an encounter. And I expect that you're going to show me things through your word and through prayer. How many of you here today say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never experienced the presence of God in such a real way like that. Or I have, but I got to be honest this morning. I'm wearing the veil, but the glow is gone behind the veil. And I want to get it back, and I'm going to take these steps. I'm going to do what you're talking about this morning, and I'm determined to get the glow back. Can God see your hand? Lift up and then down. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. There's some things we're going to go on from here, but these are the things I want you to start putting into practice. And I want you to share, either with me or with somebody in this congregation or somebody in your family, I want you to just begin to share the things that God is teaching you. Can you do that? Father, we thank you today for the glow that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that we can live in your presence. Lord, we want nothing if we can't have you. Lord, for each person here today, may they feel Jesus. May they know you. May they experience your manifest, a conscious presence of you in their life. Lord, even now we prepare our hearts. Lord, we confess any sin and iniquity that would separate us from your presence. Lord, we are determined that we will do what's necessary. And Lord, as these people come into your presence this week, determined and prepared and isolated, Lord, that they would meet with you and they would have encounters with you like they never had before. Open up the scriptures to their understanding. Lord, I'm reminded of what the psalmist said. He said, Lord, if I open my mouth wide, you will fill it. Lord, today, this week, we come to you as hungry birds with our mouths wide open. We ask, Lord, that you would feed us with bread, with manna from heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.